know where you're being
That's
reported
very
all this time.
interesting. I thought we were too.
That's why I asked it in the beginning of this presentation. I said, reporting in progress? Anyway.
I'm not sure what just happened there.
All right.
Even on...
anyway, to start with, actually, I think San Leandro, of course, is going to be more than one district. To start with San Leandro and San Lorenzo and just kind of work your way from there. Again, I know that's an oversimplification of it, but you can say what he said.
Thank you, Keith. I appreciate your comments. And our last speaker that I have, apart from, is Robin Villatown.
Hi. I just want to say thank you all for all your work on this. I am looking forward to playing around with that new map and seeing how other game kind of plays out. For me, I live over in District 2 right now. And I also work in San Lorenzo. So knowing that I'll have two people to complain to. But yeah, it's cool.
Just did a five, huh?
You're right. But yeah, I'm a tech nerd. I love seeing things like this. I'm also a video game nerd. So it's a little mixture of both. Yeah, thank you guys for everything you do.
Thank you for your comments, Robert. Now I'll bring it back to the board.
What director?
Sorry, is there some? Oh, Fred, I'm sorry. Are you still with us?
There's two members of the public.
Yeah,
oh, there are.
Yes, I'm here. I have a question whenever the time allows.
Fred, hold it. Before you ask your question, apparently there are two people online who have questions. So if you'll tell me who they are, Patricia, or you'll call their name.
Douglas Spalding.
Mr. Spalding, are you with us?
He has to be unmuted.
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Please.
Okay,
go ahead.
Very good. And do I have a clock to follow here, or just go for it?
I'll time you.
How much time do I have?
Oh, I don't know. 4 minutes.
Okay. So I've been through this process a few times fairly recently. One is in my school district, San Lorenzo Unified School District. And the other is in San Leandro, where Mr. Bilotau has got us on the right road to district elections. And unfortunately, they're not going to redistrict at this time in San Leandro. What I have learned in that experience is that, you know, more than the paint by numbers kind of playing around, it's important to really listen to people in the community. So I'll give you an example. In San Lorenzo, I teach or taught at Edendale Middle School, part of Ashland, and that's a very important part of the African American community. So you have to really understand where people live. Like, it's above the freeway, it's below the freeway, it's not the same thing as over by the Three Crosses Church, and you wouldn't want to divide that up. But, you know, I know you were just playing around with the yellow color, but you inadvertently divided it up. Another example of that would be Kelly Hill, where my grandmother spent every Sunday of her childhood. While my great-grandfather developed an egg candling machine. That's another important part of the, or at least it was part of the African-American community. Another important place, San Lorenzo. San Lorenzo really has a strong identity. I know that because I tried to get people to cross the Hesperian Divide to go to my high school at East Bay Arts, and people won't do it. They're like, my kid's going to the high school I went to. So I think that kind of anecdotal data is very important. And what I would expect, I wasn't really sure where we were in the process here, but, you know, like the five maps that you, the demographer, are going to come up with are going to be the ones that are probably going to key the next discussion. You know, maybe somebody will come up with some interesting idea. I don't know. I'm glad that the process is open to that. But just realize, like, you're on a very short deadline. It is the 24th of March, and the April 1st deadline is a week from tomorrow on April 1st, and then April 14th, of course, is 2 weeks after that. So all of this has to happen in very short order, and it's going to be difficult because we have board members here that are not going to probably be the next board members, depending on where people live and who has to run against who and whatnot. But I appreciate the work everyone is doing. And I appreciate the openness in which with which the board members are receiving this, because it probably is going to, you know, mean something different for some of you in the future. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Spaulding. And I see a name, Charles. I assume that's your first name. You may speak.
You assume correctly. Hi.
Oh.
Yeah, hi. This is Charles Pisano. You may have met me as Chaz. Anyway, my time clock will be very short. I'm going to leave the painting to Matt and others much more talented. I think my general sense of things here is that we need equal representation, not just by population or by ethnicity. It's a really difficult thought when I work with it. But if we look at where the bulk of Oraloma customers are, I suspect that there's a majority outside of the city of San Leandro. So I do believe that these districts should be fashioned in such a way to reflect that. When we talk about San Lorenzo, I'm in the part of San Lorenzo, which is not the village. Hayward Acres is thrown into that lot. I think I heard that maybe we go in with San Lorenzo Village on that map would make perfect sense. It could go a number of other ways, but I think the general, the representation going forward should be reflective of where the majority of your customers are. And that's where I'll leave the dividing to you experts. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. And that concludes the public comment, as far as I can see. So I will start with Mr. Simon, because I almost forgot you. You're so quiet. So Director Simon, you have questions? Please go ahead.
Thank you. Matt, could you explain a bit more the contiguous comment you made about, I think the area was over in the Three Crosses area, and you have to go out of the district to get back into the district. Does that mean it's not feasible? You cannot do it? It has to be contiguous, or do you allow exceptions like in that case?
It does have to be contiguous. It's possible to try and say, well, there are other circumstances that don't allow it. There are physical barriers that are insurmountable in some places isolated. There are a few examples of that on the map where you just can't, even as it exists now, you can't get from one part to the other because you're already on an isolated exclave, as it were, from the district. You have to go outside of the Oraloma Sanitary District to get to other parts of the Oraloma Sanitary District. So let alone whether it's in electoral divisions. So there are a lot of very challenging elements to this map where, you know, like the umbilical cord example of coming down Center Street and then down B Street and then up Foothill, that's technically contiguous, but it really isn't in the spirit of the Fair Maps Act. But we're gonna have to allow it because that's the reality of the map. And so I would say that the physical reality of the mapping takes priority over all else. When we do find ourselves in a situation where there's something that breaks a rule, but there is no physical way around that, it just has to be accepted. And then there is precedent in other districts for things like that.
And is that example of going under 580 near the Three Crosses, where it's physically impossible to get to the other side? So that's where it would have to be allowed because there's no other way to do it?
No, because there are other ways to do it. In that example,
can you show that? Can you show that on the screen, the other ways to do that?
Sure. Yeah, that could be quite instructive. I can do from there if that's shared.
Nope.
All right. So let's jump into that. Let's go over to drawing districts and get into, can you see it now?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to draw that, just this portion here, where you're going from one side to the other, across, and what would be, if this were the totality of the district, it would be an impassable barrier. However, there are ways around. And in this particular case, if your district were to follow Mission Boulevard, shrink the brush down so I'm not doing too much damage there. So if you're gonna follow Mission Boulevard and go north, you can follow it all the way up to 167th and go under the freeway on foot, which goes underneath and then rejoins that portion up in the Fairmont Terrace area. So in this example, this district, even though there's a barrier here, you've created a district that goes around it and then can go under the freeway. And the freeways and the railroads are major, you know, logistical complications in drawing these maps. But if you know, you know, if you're from here and you know these things, you can find, you know, pathways to get there. There are even, you know, footbridges across the creek, like over at Meeker State, that would count as a way to get across if you're drawing a line over there to get across the creek. You can use that footbridge. But if you're, you know, if you're somebody coming from the outside trying to drive and you don't know about the footbridge at Meeker State, then, you know, you're not going to draw those lines. So this is why having the public who's from here and is intimately familiar with their own neighborhoods is an essential part, especially with a map so complex as this. But anyway, to answer your question, though, this, if you were to again, erase this portion of the avenues and just try to keep it together because you want to have this line that goes up through the hills, keep everybody on that side of the freeway together, that's not going to work because you can't get down to this portion of the district without going along the avenues.
Okay, got it. So for Fairview, it needs more population. It needs to spill into this area. It's almost set that it needs to include what you just showed.
Go ahead.
No, you please, you go.
So another example with that very scenario, though, is that you do cut it off at the freeway there and instead try to cleave to the Hayward and Cherryland portion. And even though it is, you know, we're doing that thing that we try not to do in that this is not compact. As I said before, the physical reality is supreme and that we have this connector. And so even though that's not compact, we can still try to make it compact again over on this side of that connector. We can go down this way.
All right, those are great examples. Thank you. And then as far as the community of interest map, I guess there's several different community of interest you can do. But when it comes down to it, there's five board members. So how does that interrelate? You've got five districts, yet you could have many community of interest. How do those two separate map makeups coincide?
So that is where the challenging portion comes in. You will never be able to make a perfect map that doesn't break up community of interests. There are no perfect solutions, only trade-offs. And so we just try to make the best trade-offs that we can to keep the largest chunks of communities of interest together. And by default, a recognized community of interest is a census-designated place or a city. So in this case, we have run through the list. We have City of Hayward, the City of San Leandro, Hayward Acres, Ashland, Cherryland, San Lorenzo, Castro Valley, and Fairview. So we've got ourselves, eight communities of interest to fit into five. And that's if you're only using census designated places and cities. And as we know, and as was pointed out by one of the community members, there are many other metrics for what a community of interest is. It is something that is in the eye of the beholder ultimately. But as people submit maps or even just comments about what they are concerned about with communities of interest. Those are things to keep in mind as best as possible, but it will not be possible to have a perfect map that aligns with communities of interest. We're just going to have to do our best and respect the community as much as we can and keep things together as much as we can. But knowing that dividing this map into five equal parts is going to come at a cost to certain communities.
Okay. And my last one for now, the public maps submission on April 1st, public maps, do you typically, when you see this happen in other districts, do board members also submit maps, or is this just a public process?
Board members should also submit maps. It is open to the public, and the board are members of the public in this regard. So anyone from the public can submit these maps. And the April 1st deadline, that's only a deadline for round one. No one should abandon the map they're working on if it's in draft mode and they haven't got it published in time. They can keep working on it until the following the meeting with the next deadline. So even though this first round is quite tight, it is the draft. And it's very unlikely that we'll achieve a final map from that first round. And so people can keep going until the final deadline.
Okay, and the final deadline is what date?
I'm gonna have to look at my calendar.
The second draft is on.
Yes, May 1st.
The fourth hearing is 5/12.
Yes, so May 1st would be the next. So it's a month on from the first deadline. April 1st to May 1st is when the last public map can be accepted.
Okay.
Are we good, Fred?
Yeah, we're good. Just that one slide, it says deadline on April 1st, but it doesn't say deadline on May 1st. So it's not that clear that is an actual deadline. So for the public, I would want it to be very clear that May 1st is a actual deadline. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Simon. Director Dean, did you want him to demonstrate something?
Yeah, can you demonstrate that other?
Absolutely.
And what is it you're asking to demonstrate so I'll understand?
I can clarify.
Go ahead.
So there are two map modes that we have here. One that I had demonstrated earlier, just by moving around it without actually drawing. So here you have the two different options. You have the districts and then identify a community. So if we go over to the identify a community map tool, it's slightly different. And the map is color and you can see a lot more details about what's going on, where the shopping centers are, where schools and churches, hospitals are, it just helps in that regard. And you can, I'm gonna do an example here of, let's say I wanted to make three communities of interest. I can add the little plus sign over here and it adds an additional paint color. And I can just keep doing that until, let's say, I wanted to have four communities of interest. And I was going to say, well, I think as an example, I wanted to make the Hillcrest Knolls, El Portal, Fairmont Terrace, everybody north uphill from the freeway as a single unit of interest, not that it's a district per se, but that we want to identify everybody here who's in the Castro Valley General Plan Zone. And that little nub of San Leandro on the top of Hillcrest Knolls, let's say this is one of the communities of interest. Now, these don't have to be contiguous. There are no rules. This is just how you feel about the community that you want to identify. So then we could say, well, I also care about what's going on with this portion of Hayward that is by itself down here that's dangling off the bottom of Hayward Acres. And that's another community of interest. There's a couple little chunks there that are just inside the city limits. And you can keep doing this. And you can say, well, and you can write a description about each of them. We can go back to the other one. Drawings, I want to go back to community green here, and I want to say this is, you know, the Fairmont Ridge area, and you can name it that as well. And so as you're looking through these, you can also go through and look at the data later as an evaluation and see what's going on with Fairmont, the Fairmont Ridge folks. What are those demographics break down on? And what does the voter base look like? So as you go through and do that, you can also identify significant areas inside a community. Going back to drawing, you could say there's an important place. Like, let's say the hospital is something you want to really zoom in on. Who's near that hospital? And you can, even if the hospital wasn't there, let's say you wanted to say something else that was an important place, like the footbridge from Meeker State. It's one of the few ways to get across the district. You could say, I want to add this place right here, and I'm going to write about what that is. So as you zoom out, those things are of a size that you'd be able to see. People go, well, what is that? That might be labeled as the footbridge across the creek. So you can do that in any number of ways, particular churches for communities or community centers, other things like that, that you can identify to help really shape this process's perception of what the different communities of interest are.
Thank you for explaining that to everybody.
And then when you're done with that, you can go over to the save. And then when you back out of that, I'm not going to do it right here, but you'd say share to gallery. And if you were to share to gallery, go back, you would then be able to see it. Like this other one I did that shows all of the different cities and unincorporated areas, everybody would be able to look at your community of interest designated space. And again, these have like the little orange bar across the top. And you'll notice just by the color of the map, this is full color with all the features. And that's gonna be quite different than when you go into a map that's got just trying to draw the districts. It's a black and white map, and we're really focused on what it'll leave or compliant measurements. Anyway, that's the deep dive.
All right. So I actually have a question about one of those maps. I think it's number 38. Okay, so maybe it's not 38. There was one that had San Leandro that had three different colors in San Leandro. I was wondering about that one. That's the one. I can't read the number. So is this a real map that we possibly could use?
This is. You could do a map like this. And it tries to keep things in as compact and as contiguous as possible, keeping in mind freeways and other things. And this is follows along with Fred's example of how do you get to the El Portal area, and it's along the avenues. Whether you want this or not is up for you to decide when everyone votes.
I think one of our people that called in said they didn't like this map because of we all know that 70% of the customers live in unincorporated, right? Is that correct? About 70%?
Roughly, yes.
Yeah, about 70%. So that probably wouldn't be the best map then, unless someone from Cherryland was able to win in that middle section. All right. Contiguous. I have an issue with contiguous because I look in so many places about contiguous. So who is the be all and end all of contiguous is number one, because when I go to the California Citizens Redistricting Commission, contiguous is not number one, it's number three.
Right.
So who are we, where are we going to find out that contiguous is number one? That's what I need to know, because I need to know.
So in the elections code section, there's rules for the local districts that may be different than the state. So for local districts, is in section 2200 deals with special districts, but it refers back to chapter 2, which starts at election code 21-100. And that lays out the criteria. And the two sort of primary criteria are equal size and complying with the Federal Voting Rights Act and state and
yes.
federal constitution.
Yes.
Then from there, there's a list, and I'll just read it.
Yeah, let's hear it. Thank you.
So it says, the districting body shall adopt election district boundaries using the following criteria as set forth in the following order of priority. One, to the maximum extent practical, election districts shall be geographically contiguous.
Extent practical.
Yeah. And that was what Matt mentioned. Some, it's possible you might have a district where you just can't do, right? Like there's too many freeways or railroad tracks or something, or might not. Number two, to the maximum extent practicable and where it does not conflict with the preceding criteria, the geographic integrity of any local neighborhood or local community of interest shall be respected in a manner that minimizes its division. Number three, to the maximum extent practicable and where it does not conflict with the preceding criteria in the subdivision, the geographic integrity of a city or census designated place shall be respected in a manner that minimizes its division. This paragraph does not apply to a city. Number four, to the maximum extent practicable and where it does not conflict with the preceding criteria in the subdivision, election districts shall be bounded by natural and artificial barriers, by streets, or by boundaries of the local jurisdictions. Election districts boundaries shall be easily identifiable and understandable by residents. And five, to the maximum extent practicable and where it does not conflict with the preceding criteria in this subdivision, election districts shall be drawn to encourage geographic compactness in a manner that nearby areas of population are not bypassed in favor of more distant populations. And that's the list. And then there's another overarching one that is district boundaries can't be drawn for the purposes of favoring or discriminating against an incumbent, political candidate, or political party.
Okay, thank you. So that, and where did we get this from?
This is in section.
But what's the title of the document?
This is the Elections Code. So this is part of the Fair Maps Act.
Okay, thank you. I think one of the biggest problems with our maps is all the parts of our unincorporated area that have been annexed, right? Like when I look at this map, I see how the lime green could be so much better connected if Hayward didn't annex, Costco, right?
Wake up.
Good morning. So, it's a little bit difficult for me. And Matt, what is that area, that little rectangle that's on top of Hayward Acres? It's like a little rectangle. It's on top of it. Yep.
This right here?
Yep.
So that's City of Hayward.
But what is it?
It's part of the cannery development there.
Oh, I knew it.
So, but is there a way to access? And
yes.
Okay, because then I want to ask you about down by the end, by A Street. Now, you keep talking about contiguity, and you keep talking about walking. Are you saying the only way to, you have to be able to walk the whole district, not drive? Are you saying walking is a part of contiguity?
If you have to get on the freeway, then
it's not contiguous.
That's really not contiguous.
Okay.
Because no one has, it's not assume that everyone can drive.
All right. So you have to be able to walk. So not everybody can walk either.
But you could roll or be pushed or a bicycle or whatever
okay.
it is.
Okay, so then contiguity. I know there's Rook contiguity and there's Queen contiguity, right? So I see Queen contiguity right there, I think, right by Costco. Do you guys know what I mean? Rook means you're you have to share. She gets it. I don't know if everybody else does.
It's okay.
So this is because of the history of the annexation, and you can see in this purple line is this is the City of Hayward line. It goes up around like this, mm-hmm. and there are areas that these little teeth sticking down, That's part of Cherryland, but Hayward came and snatched
yep.
these little things all along A Street. And there are many areas like that, both with San Leandro and Hayward, where things have been plucked, as it were.
Yes.
And here's another example over here. So working around those things to maximize the contiguity is an extra challenge, but we have to tackle.
But so could that area still be considered contiguous without Hayward Acres? With only having Hayward colored in that color and not Hayward Acres and not San Lorenzo.
So yes, if you were to come down at Hathaway and use it that way to come to A Street and take this part of Hayward, technically it's contiguous, but then you also violate the compactness.
But that's lower down on the scale. I just want to, when I'm talking to people and working on drawing maps, I want to make sure I'm saying things the correct way. So this part of Hayward could be considered contiguous with the other pieces of Hayward because of the way.
No, because so this little chunk here, the cannery development and this part here, south of A Street, those are contiguous, but then this is Cherryland. So you're not contiguous to any other part of Hayward. This is Cherryland, not Hayward.
Oh, okay. Right. Yes, correct. All right. So can you go out more so I can see the whole map? Okay. All right, this is gonna be a giant challenge.
Yes.
And I'll let somebody else have some fun.
Anything else?
Nope.
Thank you. Director Duncan?
I just have two questions. One comment and one question. Is it any way you can put maybe a summary a little bit of what Alex read to us so people can sometimes, you know, I heard you, but I'd like to read it myself because, as you said, the state redistricting ranks it differently. And people may not know that. You know, for special districts, it's a different ranking. And so in some way, you can put that on our website with the map it, so people can have it as a guide on what's in order. My other question is, does anyone know that the portion, the purple portion that's next to Castro Valley, where those individuals' children go to school?
Which I know the school districts quite well.
Right, well, next to Castro Valley and next to, yeah, there.
Over. So the school boundary here is largely mirrors the sanitary district boundary, but not precisely. There are a couple of places here, like along Crest, where if you're on this side of, if you're on the northeast of Crest, you're in the Castro Valley School District, but to the west of that, you're in the San Lorenzo School District.
So the purple is in the Castro Valley or is?
No, so the Castro Valley School District is, there are a couple of places like Rolando is, I think the border here, but there are areas where it's literally parcel by parcel, zigzag sawtooth of who's in and who's out of the district. It roughly equates to the top of the ridge here. You know, this is the Fairmont Ridge. The rule of thumb is if you're to the east of the ridge, you're in Castro Valley. To the west, you're in San Lorenzo. And then over here, everybody who's in Castro Valley in these portions south of the freeway, but west of Fairview, they're in the Hayward School District. And then the folks over in Five Canyons, over here, those folks are all in the Castro Valley School District. It's quite a mess. The Castro Valley General Plan has four school districts within its boundaries.
And the reason for my question is, you know, when you think about people's community of interest.
Yes.
I know when I was campaigning that area, one of the individuals said, do you have any pool of getting my child in the Castro Valley? So I'm like, we do garbage. Yeah. But great presentation. I understand it. And thanks for the clarity, Alex, on the ranking, because that was tying me up because I learned it a different way. And I appreciate your patience with us, Matt.
There's no way to be impatient on this process. It's going to be a lot of detail and a lot of things to hash out.
Thank you, though. That's it. No,
thank you.
Well, thank you for the presentation. Wonderful. I do have a number of questions, but I'm going to start off with this one question because I may have misunderstood it from the other meetings. Do the five districts have to touch each other?
They don't all have to touch each other.
Okay. No. Okay. Thank you for that answer. From the UMapIt tool, right, is the data exportable both in the raw numbers as well as the shape files?
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. I'll probably ask you offline how to do that. Are there videos from UMapIt or on YouTube that's available so that folks who want to look at the...
So hopefully this is recorded and people can see this. UMapIt is my website. It's
okay.
It's not an external thing.
Okay.
I am planning to put a tutorial based on the feedback over this coming week. As the questions people have versus what I want to demonstrate may not be aligned, and I want to really understand how best to address the people's concerns coming out to this tool new.
Yeah, the reason why I asked if they were available, and the answer is no, right? Is that currently we've added things onto the districting page.
Yes,
right, which I thought was wonderful. All the acts are explained. The Fair Mapping Act is also explained. There's also some other data on the site that I do need some clarification on, right? And it said, when is the deadline to adopt a final district map, right? And I saw what we have in the presentation, and really our goal is to try to do it by at least have a board decision by May 26th, I believe. But in here, it says the deadline to adopt the final district map is June 2026, which is definitely true. I think that may cause some confusion, right? I think we do need to clarify that the board is going to is working towards a decision on May 26th, even though the deadline is June 2026.
In talking to the ROV staff,
yes.
As much lead time as we can give them, the better. They're right. Going to be in crunch time prepping for the June election already.
Right. I think they're still going to be counting that week that on the due date.
Yes.
Because of the primary. Okay. Let's see what other questions I have. That was my primary question regarding the due date, because I just want to make sure that we're clear on our website. I think Director Simon once also said it, is that wherever we have on our website needs to be basically what people understand.
Thank you, Director. So I'm not sure I'm going to ask a whole lot of questions. It's, as you said, it's very confusing. I was surprised you just said that UMapIt is your personal website.
Yes.
That's amazing. That's a very intricate website. So congratulations on that. And then I think you indicated that that connection will be on the Oral Loma site as well.
Yes, we're going to have to link to the
UMapIt. So there'll be a link to the UMapIt, yes, on the Oral Loma site. Okay. I think that's my silly question has to do with, I think I know the answer, but when you talk about contiguous districts, I realize that they have to be close enough that they sort of belong in the same area, but I don't understand the being able to walk from one to the other when you're doing what you're doing is voting.
So, yeah.
Does it have to do with communities of interest or something?
No, it has to do with when you're looking at a map, because if you don't have them contiguous, it could be, a map that looks like confetti, where there could be little, this block is in one district and that block's in another one, and it isn't all together. Because the idea is to make it clear to the voting public that a given district, oh, we're on this side of the freeway and north of this boulevard, or on this side of the bar tracks, or this side of the creek, or something that's easily recognizable by the general public. So that if it's, as the school district is, as I was saying, kind of a sawtooth that winds between houses and things,
yes,
it can be very difficult to understand who your representative is.
That's also true with the state assembly and the state senate.
Yes.
Because it cuts off, it cut me right in half in my property.
Yeah, and that's something, in my mind, to be avoided. We want to make things as clear to the public as possible.
Okay. That really concludes my questioning. Does anybody have one more question for the good of the order? If not, then we'll close this public hearing.
And I do have one direction that we need for staff.
And that is?
The direction from the board was, obviously, we're having our meeting here. And then we were trying to secure another offsite from the district public hearing meeting at the San Lorenzo Library when we contacted the San Lorenzo Library. Tuesday afternoons are a little bit tricky to get because there's MAC meetings and other meetings. So there was no availability for the three public hearings or the two public hearings in April. So the question to the board is, would you like us to pursue another location? Shall we have the remaining three public hearings at our boardroom and obviously online? Or what is the direction from the board that you would like?
I thought at the last meeting we talked about if it wasn't possible we couldn't get the right equipment that we would meet at the center and at the along the boardroom.
Okay.
You're just talking about the fact that we can't get San Lorenzo.
The library is not available on the dates
so
of the public hearing.
I can't imagine that it's not open. Does anybody object if we just have it at the district board meeting?
I like our board one.
Me too.
Okay. Well, leave
you're
it
all
at
welcome.
That. And they like it too because,
yeah.
Well,
okay,
except for Robert.
You.
Robert lives near me, so.
Well, he was right next to my work.
Yeah. So that's right. So the answer is you can
thank
plan
you.
It. For
let's
the
go
board
to the
board meeting.
Let's
thank
do
you.
It. Thank you.
And then this is the end of the public hearing. So I'm closing the public hearing. And then I'm going to do a short recess.
Just
thank
before
you.
We take a recess,
yes.
So the board knows, we have to be done in this room at 8.
Well, we're not done by 8. I'm leaving anyway.
Oh!
No, just so I you know, but then we can also, like, the closed session, we probably should just kick to the next meeting anyway. But just so you have that in mind when we come back.
I appreciate it.
Here we go.
Thank you, Patricia. Okay, so apparently it's not that we have to vacate the room because the building is closed. We have to vacate the room because the district only paid for the room until 8:00. And the gentleman outside is very uncooperative. So we're going to leave it at that and try to get through the rest of the agenda within the hour. And we can move the closed session to the next meeting. And that's probably good for Fred as well.
Yes.
Since he's the one who requested it. So
right.
I'm going to move to the consent calendar now.
No, you're fine.
That consists of item 6-1, 6-2, 6-3, 6-4, 6-5, 6-6, and 6-7. Does anyone want to pull anything from consent?
Do we pull it, or if I have questions, how do
you
pull it?
You pull it.
Pull it.
Okay.
I'm going to move.
Sorry.
Stop it. Which item?
I have questions about the operations.
So you want to pull 6.4 of the operations committee?
Yeah, I'm trying to find, get on the right page.
I don't need, I mean, I don't
and page, well, but, I have questions on the construction, the operations, and F&I. A quick question. Can I go?
Well, if it's how quick?
Well, it should be a quick answer.
Go ahead.
Okay. For what is heavy easement? What is
heavy
it?
Heavy easement?
Easement. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. On page 13 and 14. Is that on?
Which me then?
It's the operations This is different than what shows up. Hold on.
Well, it's not that easy. Do you want to pull the operations and committee and construction?
Hold on. It's on page.
Collections department. Or the sewer lines inspected previous.
Yeah, it months. Says the collection department sewer line inspected previous 12 heavy. Months.
It means heavy work.
Oh, heavy easement work. It's a tough area to have to clean the camera. And so they have to allocate more crew time in that area. So it's just not an easy place to work.
Okay. When I think of an easement, I don't think of it being heavy.
Yeah, it's a heavy workload. So that's probably, yeah, it's a heavy workload because of the location.
And then my other, I just looked at, compared these two charts. One says sewer line clean previous 12 months. And I'm just wondering, why doesn't the sewer line clean previous month for the month of February? Why doesn't it correlate with the February of the sewer line inspection if it was heavy work in a short month? That's all. Just looking at the two charts.
If you get the question, I can try to get an answer.
Okay, I will. Okay.
And we can get with and get you the right answer.
Okay.
To make sure we document that question.
Okay. And then I was noticing that the cogen number one, was down, the operations was down 60%.
It ran 60%.
That's what I mean.
It was up. And then, so yeah, it was a piece that took a while to get, a flex line coupling.
Okay.
That's something that usually...
Because normally it's in the 90s. And,
yeah, absolutely.
And so when I saw the 60s, and then my other question was, I didn't catch this in our F&I, Liliana.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the staffing study and the camera equipment showing up in Fund 40?
So staffing study is not a capitalizable item. What goes in Fund 45 is those capitalizable projects, you know, right. Even if they're over various years, they're going to be added to fixed assets.
So is that why it shows up on Fund 40? Okay, and then my other one.
So you sure you don't want to pull all these items?
Well, I have one more.
Well, they weren't as quick as I thought they were going to be.
Well, I did the homework and looked at all this wonderful stuff. It's called something else. And so then it, thank you for answering that. And then the last one is, you know, I guess I could look at you next, that I saw you were on the check register for $200 for San Leandro or something. I just wondered what
it was. Oh, it was a reimbursement for going to a chamber function. To the San Leandro Chamber's annual function.
Oh, you have to pay to go to that?
Yeah, well, yeah, you do. It's an annual dinner.
Oh, I wasn't. It just threw me off that it was $200, and it just said "San," didn't say anything else.
And then, for clarification, sorry. So you're asking about the 12 months inspected of sewer line,
well,
relating between the 12 months cleaned?
Right, because cleaning one should be, if it's a short month and holidays, why were we able to clean more than we were?
And I'm going to answer that question. Collection system manager Brown reported that approximately 35,000 of sewer line had been televised, slightly below the 50,000 foot goal due to the increased amount of easement work requiring hydro cleaning and combined crews. So they needed more, typically one crew works on each section for the easements. They'd have multiple crews. So to clean
okay.
the easements, and it meant inspection was going down because the inspection crew was helping with the hydro on the easement.
Okay, so that's why manpower. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I got you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was it.
Okay. Does anybody want to pull anything from the agenda? I mean, from the consent calendar? If not, then I would entertain a motion to approve consent.
Director Lee, would like to move the entire consent calendar.
Thank you. I need a second.
Director Duncan was second.
Thank you, Director Duncan. I have a motion and a second. I will have the roll call, please.
Director Simon?
Aye.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Secretary Duncan?
Aye.
Vice President Lee?
Aye.
President Young?
Aye. Thank you very much. We'll move on to new business. Item 7.1 is adopt the resolution authorizing the VM to execute agreement with Precision Well Services in the amount of $250 to reject all bid protests for the East Bay Mud Well Demolition Phase 2. Do you want a presentation or do you all understand this motion? We need a presentation. Joe, do you want to make any comments?
Just briefly, we had, and Chatu can chime in as well, we had several bids. There were some people who did protest, but the lowest bidder is the one we won awarded to. There was nothing that showed they couldn't do the job or perform the work. So their allegations did not seem to hold any water. And so we wanted to move forward. So that was the only thing about it.
So I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
If in fact, at any point in the workload that they do, if they ask for a change order and it's not anything we didn't prepare them for, can we deny the change order?
Yes, if I'm not mistaken, Chatu was actually following up to ensure that the price that they quoted, this is for the work they're going to do. There was a
not
double
a
check. Did you already do that?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Right. They, not a penny more, especially when you have protests.
Absolutely.
Right.
I'm sorry, what were we going to say?
No, we checked with them. They want to persist. They're interested in the work and they are standing behind the bill.
Right. Okay.
We did double check.
Thank you. Then I would entertain a motion for approval. Anybody?
I can make a motion. Dean.
Thank you, Director Dean.
Director Duncan.
Fred, you have a question?
Oh, I was going to second.
Oh, I had a second already from Director Duncan. Thank you
okay,
very much.
No worries. Thank you.
You.
Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Director Simon?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Secretary Duncan?
Aye.
Vice President Lee?
Aye.
President Young?
Aye. Thank you very much. Moving to item 7.2, this exchange, execute a change order with California Trenches in the amount of $489,000 for the sewer collection system pipeline rehab replacement project phase 8. Joe, comment?
This is so that we can get ahead, and again, I will refer to Chatu as well because we did talk about this, but to get some work done before some pavement work is done, and so we don't have to re-rip the street up. Right. And so this is looking forward-looking to get it done before Alameda County goes and repaves the area.
Did you want to make any other comment?
Yeah, we would like to ask the board for to allow the general manager to execute a change order with California Trenchless to not to exceed
$489,000.
Thank you.
You got that.
I have a question. George
Duncan.
Is California Trenchless working on any other projects for us?
Yes, they are currently working on phase 8. They're doing really well and they are nearing completion.
Okay, so that's
they're already
it's out. Not going to be in conflict of a job that they should be finishing for us.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not. This is not for something or to redoing. This is new work that needs to, that's all in the books to be completed. We just want to get it done before.
Right, I understand that, mm-hmm. but I guess they have the crew to do it.
Yes.
That's kind of what.
Oh, absolutely.
That,
yes.
You know,
yes.
Not going to slow down something else.
No.
All right. So I'll entertain the motion.
Oh, well, I will entertain the motion. Would you like to make it?
Oh, okay. I will.
You'll move it? You move the item.
I will move the item. Okay.
Thank you. And Fred, would you like to second? Now he's gone to sleep. Fred, are you still
yes,
there?
Yes, I want a second. I couldn't hit the button fast enough. Yes, I want a second. Thank you.
Motion and a second for approving item 7.2. We have a roll call, please.
Of course, Director Simon.
Yes.
Director Dean.
Yes.
Secretary Duncan.
Aye.
Vice President Lee.
Aye.
President Young.
Aye. Moving on to item 7.3, authorization to solicit bids for the Engineers Point Repairs number 14 project. Comments, Joe or Chatu, either of you?
Yes, this one is also time sensitive due to coordination effort with Alameda County Public Works. We would like to perform these point repairs ahead of Alameda County starting road work. Due to this reason, we are asking the board to approve to solicit bids and to award the project to the lowest bidder if the the lowest bidder is in, below the engineer's estimate.
Thank you very much. I would entertain a motion to approve.
Dean can make that motion to
Thank
approve
you,
this.
Thank you, Director Dean.
Director Lee, I'll second.
And Director Lee will second. I have a motion and a second. A roll call, please.
Director Simon.
Yes.
Director Dean.
Yep.
Secretary Duncan.
Aye.
Vice President Lee.
Aye.
President Young.
Aye. Moving on, 7.4, authorization to solicit bids for permit repairs number 15. I'm assuming they're the same as, did you have a question? To solicit bids for permit repairs for project number 15. Any additional comments? No, it's just pretty straightforward. So mm-hmm. I would entertain a motion for item 7.4.
Director Lee, so moved.
Director Duncan, seconds.
Thank you. I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Director Simon.
Yes.
Director Dean.
Yes.
Secretary Duncan.
Aye.
Vice President Lee.
Aye.
President Young.
Aye. Sorry, I'm just laughing at the difference in aye and yes. Item 7.5. Is approval of the supplemental capital expenditure and draft cost sharing agreement between CB San and Oraloma for the digester rehab project. We've talked about this before, and the draft cost sharing agreement is attached. Does anyone have questions?
No, I have a comment.
Joe, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay, if you're ready. So there was an ask to find out about pricing about this. I think this was one of the questions.
Yeah.
And the pricing, it's a very pricing right now. The issue is there's no RFP, and we would actually need a CB San to agree to a RFP to actually go forward. And so there's going to be some discussion from you all to be able to do that. But we're looking at anywhere between $100,000 to $300,000 to do what is being asked currently. And so that's just, I know that's a, it's hard to get a tight price range without setting exact, standards of what we're looking for. And that's what the RFP would do. And so again, this would have to be in joint with CB San to do that. And so it's going to take a little bit of effort.
So we're doing more than just approving the contract of the cost sharing agreement.
We're not going to approval submit.
This is for the master plan.
This is for the master plan, right?
Which
so
is
we
part
don't,
of the cost
which is part, plan. Which is part of it, yes.
But it's over the next 2 years.
Yeah, so we got still it. We're going to have a conversation with CB San.
I got
about it because it is going to be a cost.
I see.
And what they're looking for to put in RFP. So yeah, this is not to do it just yet.
But I understand. Mm-hmm. Director Duncan.
Sure. Yeah, because I was the one that asked what was the price tag on it.
Oh, okay, I didn't know.
And it's back. And you're right. It's a wide range.
Yeah, until we narrow the scope.
So that's just my concern.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because why wouldn't we know the scope?
So we have a scope, but then we have to also get the partnership with CV San.
CV
so
San
to see how much of these have gone to it. So exactly what it says, from the board direction, the meeting for the staff, let's see, we will cost produce. We did that. This was from several consultants, gave these prices and it would have to be agreed upon. We do have a scope of what needs to be, but it's going to be it's a lot when you go to put together a master plan. So it really, depends on what they want to see. That's why they said they have to agree to what they want to see in the master plan. And I'm not privy in all the conversation with CB said. I know there was some information given, but it wasn't enough. And so it sounds like they want to see some detail. And so that's going to be the.
My only issue is, we don't know the scope
of what they want. We have to agree with what the FRP is going to, what is it going to say?
And so if that's the case, that that range mean nothing if we don't know. But
we got to get an agreement with them to find out what they want to see with us, and then we can get a better price.
So are you saying that they're in generally they're in agreement with the 2-year plan as opposed to wanting to have it immediately?
That I have a follow up on. I don't have that.
Yeah, I know that's what's in this agreement. So, but we're only talking now about approving. Are you asking us to approve the agreement? Or are you asking us to approve the spending of money?
The agreement for that. But as part of that agreement, we are agreeing.
That we're going to do the work this, in 2 years, but we don't know how much work we have to do until correct. They finally agree. Is that what
yes.
you're saying?
Yes.
Okay,
sorry, yeah, here we go.
Sorry, it just bothers me, but I won't follow it up.
Thing bothers me is we don't need a master plan, as Fred wants to speak. Fred, go ahead.
Fred? Yes, yeah, some background on this from the construction committee meeting, I think it was 2 months ago. Was we all agreed that there would be a streamlined version of a master plan, Castro Valley and Orloma. We agreed, at least at our level, that we didn't want a fluffy document that just sits on a shelf and doesn't get used in the future. We wanted a streamlined document, living, that can be updated regularly. And I think they attempted to do this in these edits here. I don't see the word streamlined, but they did define what would be in it. Infrastructure assessment, assessment of future needs, and assessment of water quality standards. So that's kind of the background on it. I would have hoped to see some word like streamlined or some verbiage to make it very clear that this is not a standard master plan. Alex, is that something that we can get in there a word or two so it's very clear?
Yeah, I don't know that we can add anything and see if Castro Valley is agreeable to that. I don't know that without just the scope attached, you're gonna get, like, even adding a word or two about streamlined mm-hmm. is still out there for anyone to say what that means.
I hear you. It's not firm at all. However, there was agreement that this is not a typical master plan. It would be a very abbreviated version, just focusing on the core subjects, not a lot of just not a lot of normal background, a lot of fluff.
And just to be clear, Castro Valley would share in the cost of the master plan.
Yes.
Street master plan.
Yes.
Thank you.
Duncan. And we also said we wanted it to be a living document, not something to put on the shelf. And to Sheila's point, is the cost going to come back to us to approve?
I'm sure. Well, this is. Before we even get that far.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm not approving.
No, you're not approving this cost.
Okay, I'm good.
Now, Jimmy did ask that if this information can be shared back with CVSAN, that we do need to get a RFP together that is agreed upon, then we can actually get some actual price.
Well, that makes sense.
And ultimately, the agreement says that we agreed to have a wastewater treatment plan. Master plan adopted by the board of directors. So it still gives us ultimately the control over the document and what, we could say it might make them unhappy, but we could say this is good enough. This is enough detail for us and we're adopting this and we've met our commitment.
We're not paying any more money.
So the document that we're going to approve tonight is the one that has the blue inserts, nothing to do with the red.
You are not committing any money yet, right? No, this project's still going out to bid and come back and you'll have to approve the award of that.
I'm just trying to figure out what we're voting on here. We're voting on this agreement, correct?
Correct.
And all the detail that the board wants will come back at a later time. Okay. Any other questions? And I would entertain a motion to approve item 7.5.
Director Lee, so moved.
And Director Duncan, second.
Thank you, Doris. I need a roll call vote, please. Roll call.
Sorry. Director Simon.
Yes.
Director Dean.
Yep.
Secretary Duncan.
Aye.
Vice President Lee.
Aye.
President Young.
Yes, I sure did. I'm not talking directly to you. I couldn't figure out what else to. Okay. Moving on to item 8, Authority Association Conference Reports. So that would be me. I'll be very quick. EBDA met on March 19. Financial Committee and Board reviewed the basic financial disbursements, treasurer's reports, and recommended approvals. The O&M committee updated the committee on the Hayward FM pump station, pump replacement project, and working with the city of Hayward on restoration of power to Sky Rest and resumption on recycled water transfers. There have been none, by the way, recently. We also heard an updated status report on the cargo brine project and the advanced quantitative precipitation information program, which will host a celebration on March 26th for the culmination of the radar installation program. We have been reviewing policy statements that are reviewable every 2 years, and this month we've reviewed the personnel policy, the internal controls and fraud prevention, and updates to the rules of the commission. We also welcome Dylan Bolt from the City of San Leandro to replace resigning Commissioner Brian Acevedo. And the report in your agenda from HEBDA indicates no major changes to the compliance data other than some increased hypo were necessary. The commission will have no meetings in April, so there will be no new report until May. I'll see in the matter report. Questions?
Comments? I have a comment.
EBDA report here if you want any of it.
I just want to say thanks to EBDA for fixing up the pumps and the piping at SkyWest. That was very kind.
Well, I think something broke out there. It had to do with PG&E.
And it's still a problem. They got the pond all filled up, and then guess what? It's empty again.
Right.
So they're having all kinds of trouble, but I want to thank EBDA for spending the $77,000 doing the right thing.
All righty then. If there are no additional questions or comments, we'll move on to 8.2, is a report from the Special District Association, Beth Lee.
Yes, it was actually our annual dinner, right? And Director Simon, we missed you. You were obviously in DC, you know, lobbying on behalf of the city and part of the region as well. I think also there were some other agencies also in DC, so that's probably why I thought it was less attended than last year. It just happened to be a conflicting week. We got a wonderful keynote from our Senate District 10, Senator Aisha Wahab. One of the things that I heard from everybody was that she was really down to earth. She answered the questions and also highlighted the challenges that we have at the state level. You know, I did ask the question regarding, you know, the runaway costs, specifically on the energy, right? And she talked about the challenges that we had, particularly because the CPUC, which has the authority, is the Senate and the Assembly doesn't have any authority over them. It's under the authority of the governor. After that, we had a presentation, you know, a quick update from Colleen, who is our special district rep. She talked about the advocacy that's happening at the state level and also at the national level. Because we are a member of the California Districts Special Districts Association, we're automatically members of the National Association's districts as well. Outside of that, I think she did mention some bills that were being discussed. Right off the top of my head, I don't recall which bills they were, but all in all, it was a wonderful dinner. We got a chance to speak and engage with many of our colleagues, and I think I walked away with a lot of prize.
Ooh.
Yes.
I did too.
Yes. Two of us.
Yeah, well, I give mine back if anybody got there.
Any questions? So thank you.
Thank you for that report. I think those of us who were there enjoyed the event. So we're going to move to item 9, the school's engagement report. Which of you is going to tackle this one?
I'll provide that update. Yeah, we got all of the direction from the board at the last meeting, because there's a lot of things like resource champion, deadline identification, communication strategy. There are some heavy lifts on updating the MOU to make it less vague and more detailed for the schools. So staff is still working on developing a new draft MOU based upon that feedback at the March 10th meeting. We are aiming to have it back on the board's agenda for future further discussion and consideration in April.
Okay.
That's it.
Sounds good to me. Questions? Mm-hmm. Director
Duff. Is it possible for you to reach out to Virginia to, particularly around the schools? I mean, they have vast experience in working with the schools in Oakland and some of the other districts. Just, you know, some of the tips to make our MOU easily adopted by both sides.
Yep.
And she showed a willingness to help.
That was it. Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Dr. Lee?
Oh, actually, this is a question for Director Simon, because I know the city of San Leandro has an engagement with all the, both school boards. I'm just wondering when that next engagement, I encourage all of us to attend, particularly so that way we can public comment there as well.
Yes, I'll follow up on that. We did not have one last year, but we did, I believe, the year before, and it was a very fruitful meeting with the school, both San Leandro and San Lorenzo Unified in the city. And now, just last night, we have appointed a new council member, James Aguilar, who is a former, I believe, San Leandro school board member, and he's a San Lorenzo school teacher, science teacher. So yeah, I agree. It would be great for us to have more involvement with our schools and for us to join in that meeting. I will bring that up.
Thank you, Fred. Anything else? All right then. So we're going to move to item 10. The first item was the general manager update. I guess you all got the email that
yes,
he contracted hazardous health issues
on his children.
Yeah.
Poor guy can't even walk.
So for 10,
Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, for 10 and 10.1, 10.2, he will actually send an update email.
Oh, he's going to do an email.
He will do an email so that he can update you.
That's great.
And so I just wanted to convey that he did convey that message.
Terrific. Thank you very much. So that brings us to item 10.3, comments from staff and board. Let's start with Director Lee this time.
A wonderful meeting. I'm glad that we have, got a chance to see the, the mapping tool in action. I look forward to the work that's going to be done. I'm definitely going to basically identify a whole bunch of communities of interest. I'm not sure if I'm going to do the district, but I might do that just for fun. But definitely, there's a number of communities of interest that I can already identify specifically in San Leandro. And probably have some other communities as well. But this is an important exercise for all of us.
Thank you, Director Dr. Duncan.
We received our money from Measure D. It's what, 34,000?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. And I sent, thank you, Patricia, sent an email. CASA, the WIPES bill, passed the Senate. It's a national bill, and they mirrored what CASA did for the state of California. And given how our legislative community is now, that's a great thing to get something passed unanimously. So
that's it. Thank you for your work on the National Ledge Committee as well.
Yeah.
Director Dean?
I like our boardroom.
You and, like your chair. That's
and I had to bring my own chair. Luckily, I knew that they were going to have
not fabulous chairs, but I just want to say district elections, I know this is going to be really hard. It's going to be really hard to draw good maps, but you know how I feel, that the power belongs to the people. And I think that when we get the districts drawn, that people will be able to find somebody from their own area that they think can represent them the best. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Thank you for a great meeting. And thank you, Patricia, for figuring that out, that craziness. Sorry.
Just a minute.
I think more like five.
I think more like 10. Thank you.
Joe, do you have anything to add?
I do not. Thank you. Thank you for being patient with me. This is my first full board meeting. So,
I like the way you passed it off to the general manager.
Yeah, you know.
That was very smart.
But that's it.
Thank you, Joe. Alex?
Nothing for me.
Patricia?
I'll see you all in the boardroom.
Chatu?
Thank you, everyone.
And Lily.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming all the way over here to meet.
Fred.
Only Fred. 5 minutes from my house.
Fred.
Yeah. Thank you. Great meeting. Thank you, Patricia and team, for getting the Zoom together. That was very efficient. And
stop. I wanted to recognize you. I did not forget you.
Oh.
Dr. Simon, go ahead.
I love it.
Patricia, excellent job on the fly, getting things running, and your team over there. Thank you. The public really benefited from that presentation to see it happening live. So it was really good. I'm also impressed with Matt's software. That's his own proprietary software. That's very impressive. And I'm looking forward to that being on our website and very easy to use for people to play with. I mean, it's really, I used it and it's really fun. So I'm very glad that Matt is able to share his tools with us and we're able to share with our community. Nice meeting.
Thank you, Fred. I think it's a link on our website. It's not the actual.
It's not linked on the website yet.
Not yet.
You said it would be.
We will.
Okay. We will link it on the website. I don't have any additional comments. I think it's a good meeting. I think it's probably a great idea to think about going out in the community once in a while, but I learned a long time ago that trying to take public meetings out in the public arena is very difficult. Even when you have the proper equipment. But I like our boardroom too, me. And I like our chairs as well. So that will close this meeting, is adjourned. And I believe since it's only 7:30, we do have time for our closed session. And I will excuse non-essential personnel. So that would be Lily, everybody on the line except for Fred. So thank you all. Thank you in the public for coming to our meeting today as well.
Yes, thank you, public.
Yes. And Charles.
We appreciate you being here.
Appreciate your comments.